I saw a tragic but beautiful film the other day. It was Russian, which explains the tragic from a few years ago. Leviton tells the story of a man trying to hold on to his family and live a certain way. He's lived on the same piece of land his whole life, land with amazing water views. He has a beautiful second wife and a son. But there are forces tearing these things apart. The government comes in wanting to take his land and rip him off in the process. He turns to a friend who is a lawyer to help him fight, but his friend ends up sleeping with his wife. He becomes more and more isolated, one individual unable to fight these powerful forces at work around him. Now the worst thing is, the man goes to the church asking for help, and the priest mumbles some platitudes about just accepting his fate. Everything falls apart. His wife is murdered. The man is sent to prison and the son goes to an orphanage. The family home is knocked down, and you know what's built in its place? A grand church building. Our world can seem pretty bleak at times. Forces at work tearing things apart, even in a place like Seaforth. Awful things happening to some people, which seem so random. Sickness happens randomly. An accident, a natural disaster. My 6-year-old niece just discovered that death can happen to someone her age. A friend of hers from school died of cancer, and she keeps asking why. And sitting on her bed, staring at her school photos from the year before, she is realizing those people, static in that picture, won't always be there in her life. Other times, awful things happen deliberately because of our choices and actions. We hurt one another. The news presents us with grim pictures. The future can look bleak. A few of the young adults were talking at my house after church last week with one another about climate change, and that scares them and they feel powerless. My 4-year-old niece already knows about extinction. She's learning about all the animals which have disappeared and might soon disappear. And so each one of us struggles to make some sense of it all. We struggle against the chaos trying to build some order. What does the church have to offer when we're feeling bleak? For a lot of people, the church has become this old grand beast, nothing but bleached bones left, which has washed up onto the shore and is stranded. The movie I was watching points out that something has gone wrong in the church's identity when it can offer no real answers to the everyday struggling person. When someone comes asking for help from the church and we have nothing, what are we doing? Or even worse, something has gone wrong when the church is involved in corrupt deals that destroy communities and lives. Just because you have a grand building or a building at all does not mean you are a church. The building we meet in is nothing but a skeleton. And just because you have people that gather and say, "We are the church," does not mean you are a church. Church is God at work bringing dry bones together, muscles forming, skin covering skeleton. It is God who brings hope in the bleakness, God's Spirit breathing into dead bodies and giving life by drawing people to Jesus. 1 John 5 verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Church involves risk. It's a group of people who decide to believe, who take a leap right in the middle of the chaos and believe that ordinary people, people like you and me, can be children of God. We trust that there is a God who loves, his Spirit enabling us to love. Now, the church doesn't escape random bad things happening. It doesn't escape the struggle. But in spite of the bleakness, people gather and trust that in Jesus, love and goodness is breaking into the world and transforming it piece by piece. However you want to picture the church, it's meant to be alive, a living being. Picture not a building, but lots of different people active, lives crisscrossing in Jesus, not separate from the struggle of others, but offering in the midst Jesus as we love. Church is a group of people who choose to trust in Jesus and live another way in the middle of a suburb that might not get it. And sometimes you'll feel very small and wish you were more impressive. Maybe want a grand building that forces people to notice you. Sometimes churches lose their way, let go of Jesus and drift on the currents before washing up on the shore. That's how you can become a dead creature on the beach. There are a lot of pressures not to believe. John is aware of this, and that is why as he finishes this letter, he urges the church to keep believing in Jesus. It is Jesus who transforms dead bodies into living ones. John wants to reassure the church that the risk to believe in Jesus and take up this way of love is not in vain. There are good reasons to be confident. 1 John 5 verse 4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We tend to love the powerful. Whales are magnificent, aren't they? The way they command the seas, their tails splashing, it's amazing to see. We love to chase such powerful creatures down and have victory over them. When things feel bleak out, natural response can be to have confidence in whatever power we have. It sometimes feels like human beings want to be the only powerful ones left, maybe because we think then we can eliminate the struggle and the chaos. We can just defeat it ourselves. So we go out and conquer one another, conquer the world. When I visited Tasmania last year, they told the story of how Wineglass Bay got its name. Wineglass Bay is this beautiful stretch of beach and ocean which once ran with the blood of whales. Human beings killed so many of them that someone described the bay as red wine in a glass. Eventually the bay became empty. The whales stopped coming. And we think that is victory. I also learnt as I walked around Wineglass Bay how the indigenous people once walked this land. But so many of them are gone now too. Victory. To me it seems a pretty bleak victory. This need to be powerful and conquer goes back, I think, to an old fear. In the ancient world they imagined great monsters, serpents thrashing in the sea. And these monsters represented a chaotic, hostile force opposed to God. But nobody could seem to defeat them, try as they might. I think those images of monsters tap into something real. It's trying to name the bleakness, the forces of hostility and death we struggle against, just like the Russian movie. That film speaks about external destructive forces at work, often tearing people's lives apart, and also internal destructive forces. When it gets too hard, the man turns to drinking lots of vodka and becomes an alcoholic. Our confidence is often in our control. We want to bring order. We build grand buildings. We conquer. We tell ourselves we'll be safe and well. And you can look around the northern beaches and think, well, we must be close. But there is still this unease. Deep down in our horror stories, in our anxiety, we know that the world is not a fair and nice place. That's what John means when he uses the word world here. He's talking about those hostile forces. So what can you do? The world teaches you you need to be stronger than the strongest monster, conquer with force. But John knows, because he knows Jesus, that there is another way. Don't worry, he says. The victory has been won. He reassures the church, you can overcome the evil one, the chaotic ways of the world. How? With faith, simple, sometimes flimsy faith, faith in Jesus who wins the victory, faith that there is one more powerful than the evil in this world who breathes the spirit into dry bones. This is where our confidence comes from, Jesus. The church looks like it's taking a risk when it doesn't try to be the strongest, but rather is a group that chooses the unexpected way, chooses to live the way of Jesus. Believing is the first step in overcoming the chaos, because to believe is to begin to imagine another way is actually possible. Believing is seeing victory when you look at the cross. 1 John 5 verse 6. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. What a risk God took. Not unleashing power or might, but revealing himself by coming into the world as one of us. Water and blood when Jesus was born, marking him a human. Water and blood coursing through his body, just like us. At the beginning of his public life, Jesus plunged into the water and the Spirit landed on him like a dove, marking him not just one of us, but the Son of God. And when he was killed on a cross, water and blood marked the end of his life as a spear was thrust into his side. People who believe look and see God in the bleakness of the cross, look and see something new that is fully revealed 3 days later when Jesus appears resurrected, and they begin to grasp the fact that new life is coming. Be assured of these things. Believe, says John, because God's Spirit has affirmed every step of the way who Jesus is. This is not some person's random thoughts or ideas. This is God testifying. We can be confident that it is true. And what does Jesus give? Life. Eternal life. Church is a group of people who have found life in Jesus. In verse 13, John will say, "Believe in the name of the Son of God, so you may know you have eternal life." Struggle and death do not have the last word. Church is not meant to be a washed-up fossil on a beach. It's meant to be a community brimming with life and hope. So when awful things happen to the people around us, sickness, an accident, natural disasters, the church should come alongside and help. Grace in the middle of bleakness, ready to get a little sweaty and bloody. Throughout this letter, John has spoken about how the church is to love, to be generous. Mike reminded us last week that love means helping people be set free to experience the fullness of life found in God. The church should dare to imagine new possibilities even before the huge issues like climate change. We imagine and ask God to show us how our lives can be living out the hope and life and love we have found in Jesus. The church can do these things with the assurance that this is not in our own strength, but this is the life of the Son coursing through us, with the assurance that these little acts point to the hope of eternal life. They're not for nothing. So we have confidence to pray and call on God, including this prayer, verse 6. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give that person life. I don't want the church to be a grand dead thing. I want it to be full of life. Well, says John, that means we keep calling people to believe in Jesus, like breathing. We need to do it again and again, because sometimes the world seems bleak and we might want to give in to cynicism and despair or forget Jesus and be left with empty platitudes. Sometimes it can be hard to believe and easier to go back to the life of sin. So John says to the church, pray for one another. Tell the story of who Jesus is and who the church is meant to be again and again. To love one another means when we are someone walking backwards to death, or maybe not even walking, maybe just at a standstill, static, we call out, God, breathe your Spirit, breathe life onto that individual, onto that church. We urge one another, keep away from anything that might take God's place in our hearts. And we reassure one another that there is a true God that we know, and life is found in him. So we're going to spend some time actually doing that. We're going to spend some time praying for one another to believe, to love, to imagine, to turn away from sin. Let's break up into groups now and pray.